Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Today, we told you, is World Tuberculosis Awareness Day. Joining us on the line is Dr. Nevesh Sewial, the healthcare practitioner specializing as a physician pulmonologist. A very, very good morning. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Hi, very good morning to you and your listeners. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. So there's been, it's always interesting because everything seems to have paled into the, or faded into the background during COVID-19.
Yep.
TB, with tuberculosis, unfortunately, TB being one of them, the only time we spoke about it is if we wondered if we were immune because of our vaccine. But what has happened during the year?
So it's quite an interesting concept, because everything right now is novel and it's new and it's about viruses. So it's actually good to talk about a bacterium that's been around for a few thousand years. Mm-hmm. So that's effectively where we are with TB. And what we found with a lot of other illnesses that have actually been neglected during this COVID pandemic, and that's not just other infectious diseases, but, you know, we're talking about other things like people not screening for cancers.
Absolutely.
And so on and so forth, diseases like malnutrition, and diseases of just poor immunity at the best of times. Okay. So effectively what we're talking about is if people have a poor sense of immunity and if they have a poor sense of health and the diets are poor and everything else like that, it leads to a perfect storm of people being generally more unhealthy. Now, the misconception about TB is that you have to know someone to contract tuberculosis, or someone must be read thin and they must be coughing directly into your face, or they must have HIV or AIDS or something like that. And that is a misconception. It's a disease that predates things like HIV and so on for many, many millennia. And the issue is that when your immune system is down, and I'm using that term very loosely, but in general, when your immune system is not fantastic, that's when you're more susceptible to picking up tuberculosis. Now, I'm saying picking up tuberculosis because by and large, if all of us live in Africa and we've been here for many years and we were born here, all of us have been exposed to it.
Right.
If you walk down the average shopping mall, there's tuberculosis all around, which is why when some people try to immigrate to, or back in the day, to places like Australia and so on, and they ask you to do specific tests for tuberculosis, some of these BCG diagnostic screening tests don't work because we live in a high prevalence society.
Right.
And a high prevalence area. So basically, all of us have been exposed to tuberculosis. And when our immune systems are normally fine, it's under control. You don't have tuberculosis. But when you do have a drop in your immunity, then you suddenly start getting active tuberculosis. And that's basically what we worry about. So active tuberculosis, and it can happen in anybody. It is not a disease of particular demographics, of social class and so on. Yes, you know, there have been certain fallacies to a certain extent when people talk about tuberculosis being a disease of poverty. And yes, the association between poverty and poor nutrition and poor immunity and poor health status is true, but it is as much a middle class / upper class disease as anything else. If your immune system drops, you are predisposed to getting tuberculosis that's active. And that's basically the long and the short of why our misconceptions of this being only for people that we don't know or people far away, it can affect anyone and all of us.
Yeah, it is fascinating. So does that mean that many of us are still are walking around with it, but it's not harmful or impactful because we are relatively healthy in other areas?
Absolutely correct. So what happens is we are all exposed to it. So we have probably,
I just want to warn you, you're talking to a third generation hypochondriac. So I'm now completely hysterical about this.
I completely understand. And the first thing you're going to do is go off to the local GP to do a chest x-ray, which is what happens when someone tries to immigrate. And the first thing they do is they carefully scrutinize it to look for any areas of scar tissue.
Right.
And then they
right.
send you for a blood test that says, do you have antibodies that show that you have TB? And invariably, in about 60% of us, those are going to turn out positive.
Amazing.
And then the hypochondriacs come out the closet, because everybody goes completely ape about that.
Shortness of breath.
Especially the immigration officers at Australian immigration at this point. So then people come to hospital, and then we have this huge diatribe and digging to the bottom of it to convince people that you don't actually have active tuberculosis. So the point of the matter is, is, if you're in generally good health, you're okay. Mm-hmm. Firstly, TB is not only a disease of the lung, it's a disease of the entire body. You can get tuberculosis in joints, in other organs, all of these sort of things. And obviously, the more compromised your immune system, the more likely it is that you may have TB or tuberculosis in these other organs and so on. So it is a concept of having low immunity. But the question becomes, how are we aware of it and what should be looking out for? If you have pulmonary tuberculosis, you're going to invariably be coughing and have problems with breathing. You may cough up some phlegm. You may have a chronic cough. In addition to that, you may have weight loss. You may have this condition where you sweat a lot at night.
Yeah.
So, well, that's the other misconception. I've seen plenty of chubby people get tuberculosis as well.
You know what? You're not helping me.
I know I'm not helping. This is part of the problem. So it's a very, it's got protein manifestations there. But the typical things that we talk about in terms of weight loss, a chronic cough, and you produce some sputum and you sweat a lot at night. That's the typical presentation of pulmonary tuberculosis.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, if someone's coughing and someone's got a chronic cough, there are a lot of things that can cause that. You know, anything from chronic lung diseases to tumors to tuberculosis. So if someone has these sort of symptoms, look, it's a different story right now, because right now when anybody's coughing, the first thing you're doing is getting 17 COVID swabs before anybody does anything else and you get seen. But be that as it may, you do realize that at some point when the second test is probably negative, you'll probably have to start looking for other things as well. And initially what we need to look at is the chronicity of this. If something has been there for a while, this is not an acute disease. So things like pneumonia, COVID-19, they're acute diseases. You get them, you this get sick, chronic. You get ill right at the beginning. This is one of those more insidious, rumbling things that keep progressing. And after a period of weeks to months, you'd find that invariably the diagnosis gets made, because that's when you actually end up getting to a healthcare person.
What about the vaccine? I mean, aren't we vaccinated?
So the idea is that at birth, we all get the so-called BCG, which is the TB vaccine. Remember, as with all vaccines, and this is true of every vaccine, including COVID, measles, and whatever it is, it doesn't mean that you will not get it. It means it decreases your chances of you getting severe disease. That's all it does. So it means that if you give a BCG vaccine, which is the basic tuberculosis vaccine, the chances of you getting tuberculosis that is actually disseminated and life-threatening are much reduced. So that is why we try and prevent things like childhood tuberculous meningitis and bad tuberculosis like that. So that is what a vaccine is meant to do. It's the same way if you give a kid a vaccine for measles. It doesn't mean they're not going to get spots. It'll just mean that if they do get measles, they're not going to get encephalitis and they may not die from measles pneumonia. That's the point of actually vaccinating children. And if you vaccinate enough people in a population, you do get some degree of protection. That's where the story came about, where someone had a bright idea that said, if you have a population that's had this, maybe it's got protection against COVID-19. That's been largely debunked for all intents and purposes right now. So that's not something we should be relying on. So yes, we have been vaccinated, but as with all vaccines over time, your immune system does tend to wax and wane. And if you have an overwhelming depression in your immune system and have an immune deficiency, and I mean, HIV would be one of those, just one of those immune deficiency states. But even things like taking medication for arthritis, being on chemotherapy, any other illnesses that are comorbid, you know, someone with heart failure, someone with emphysema, your risks of your immune system being compromised are much higher. And that's when your the prevalence rates of these things go sky high.
So is TB curable, or is it like AIDS that we really can manage it in a chronic form?
So it's completely HIV, different. I mean. So it is curable. So the whole point is it's curable. Now, remember, this is a bacterium. Now, with all bacteria, you get normal bacteria, and after a while, when the bugs become clever, they become superbugs. Now, depending how quickly these things multiply, for example, if you get a streptococcus in your lungs and you get pneumonia, it grows very quickly and it can cause lots of damage. But it also means if you treat it, you can treat it for a very short period of time. Because if it replicates very quickly, you can kill it very quickly. TB is different because it replicates very, very slowly. which means that you don't need 5 days of antibiotics, you need 6 months of antibiotics. And you don't need one antibiotic, you need about 4 antibiotics. So that's the point about TB treatment. It is curable if you take the correct medication and if you take it for the correct length of time, which is at least 6 months. Now, as with all bacteria, you can get superbugs, where the bacteria get quite clever and they become resistant to some of the antibiotics. And that's been one of the problems. It's been a particularly South African one, where we have resistant tuberculosis. And if it's resistant to more than one drug, we call it multi-drug resistant tuberculosis. And then a very scary one where it's resistant to pretty much everything. And we call that XDR, or extreme drug resistance tuberculosis. And unfortunately, we've been the world leaders in describing that, because in parts of rural KwaZulu-Natal, that's been one of the world hotspots of those so-called drugs, of those bugs. So, in fact, that's not something to be proud of, that we're the world leaders. We're the world leaders in lots of infectious issues. South African variants of COVID, extreme drug-resistant tuberculosis, which is not anything to be proud about.
Please don't say corruption as well.
but that we didn't invent. That we just got a little bit.
We just perfected,
people, but we didn't invent that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we didn't invent that one though. So that one will give a slight pass to.
All right. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Absolutely fascinating conversation, and I really appreciate that that you've taken the time to speak to us. It's so important that we speak about things other than COVID, because you really would think that that was the only show in town. Dr. Navesh Sewell, healthcare practitioner specializing physician pulmonologist. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.